So we're going to be looking at the sacrament of baptism, and it's probably helpful to read through what the Belgic Confession says about this. And this is a little bit lengthier because obviously a sacrament's a pretty important thing. And so we want to make sure that we think about this carefully and so on. And then as I then preach through this, I'll be quoting various parts of Scripture that we'll read as we go. So we're going to start here with Belgic Confession, Article 34, the sacrament of baptism. So we believe and confess that Jesus Christ, in whom the law is fulfilled, has by his shed blood put an end to every other shedding of blood, which anyone might do or wish to do in order to atone or satisfy for sins. Having abolished circumcision, which was done with blood, Christ established in its place the sacrament of baptism. By it, we are received into God's church and set apart from all other people and alien religions, that we may wholly belong to him whose mark and sign we bear. Baptism also witnesses to us that God, being our gracious Father, will be our God forever. Therefore, Christ has commanded that all those who belong to him be baptized with pure water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In this way, God signifies to us that just as water washes away the dirt of the body when it is poured on us, and also is seen on the bodies of those who are baptized when it is sprinkled on them, so too the blood of Christ does the same thing internally to the soul by the Holy Spirit. It washes and cleanses it from its sins and transforms us from being the children of wrath into the children of God. This does not happen by the physical water, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, who is the devil, and enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. And so, ministers, as far as their work is concerned, give us the sacrament and what is visible, but our Lord gives us what the sacrament signifies, namely the invisible gifts and graces, washing, purifying, and cleansing of souls of all filth and unrighteousness, renewing our hearts and filling them with all comfort, giving us true assurance of his fatherly goodness, clothing us with the new self, and stripping off the old self with its practices. For this reason, we believe that anyone who aspires to reach eternal life ought to be baptized only once, without ever repeating it, for we cannot be born twice. Yet this baptism is profitable, not only when the water is on us, but when we receive it and throughout our entire lives. For this reason, we reject the error of the Anabaptists, who are not content with a single baptism once received, and we also condemn the baptism and who also condemn the baptism of children of believers. We believe our children ought to be baptized and sealed with the sign of the covenant, as little children were circumcised in Israel on the basis of the same promises made to our children. And truly, Christ has shed his blood no less for the washing of the little children of believers than he did for adults. Therefore, they ought to receive the sign and sacrament of what Christ has done for them, just as the Lord commanded in the law, that by offering a lamb for them, the sacrament of the suffering and the death of Christ would be granted them shortly after their birth. This was the sacrament of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, baptism does for our children what circumcision did for the Jewish people, and that is why Paul calls baptism the circumcision of Christ. So that's a lengthy theological argument about why we should baptize and why we should baptize children. And so we're going to be exploring those two things today. And I think the first thing that we need to wrestle with and recognize is that baptism is a sign of being part of God's family. So if we start by asking really the simple question, why do we baptize, we can start exploring this together. Now, I know that we all probably have slightly different pictures of baptism in our heads. You know, we are in a Reformed church here, and so for most of us, we have been part of a church baptism. And maybe you were baptized as a child, and your parents stood before a congregation like this one and made promises, made promises to God in the baptism, and also received the promises of God in the baptizing the child. And if you are part of the church and you've been here for a little while, you will have stood up. And as a community, you will have promised to surround whatever child was being baptized, presented in baptism, to be an example for them, to give them everything we can as a community so that they may grow up in the way of the Lord. And so maybe your experience of baptism, you know, is a gentle sprinkling of water on a baby's head. But maybe you've had a different experience. Maybe you came to faith later in life and received baptism as a sign of your union, your joining with Jesus as you have joined with him in faith. And so maybe you've had a sprinkling, maybe you've had a pouring, maybe you've had a full immersion. But whatever method, the question underneath it is still the same. What does this actually mean? What does it all mean? And here I think the Belgic Confession is pretty helpful for us to understand what's going on. Now, where we are in the Belgic Confession is that we're spending some time looking at the sacraments which we recognize. There are two. The sacraments that Jesus instituted for the church. He commanded that baptism be one and that the Lord's Supper be the other one. And so this week we're looking at the sacrament of baptism, and next week we're going to be looking at the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, or communion, as it's also known. But now we should notice the language we use when we talk about these sacraments. We say they are signs and seals of God's promises. They are a physical sign which shows us something. They are a spiritual seal which stamps a reality onto our soul, if you like. And so baptism is a sign and a seal. Now, it is firstly a sign in that it shows us that just like water washes away dirt, so too God's people are washed clean of their sins by the blood of Christ. And so in a sense, it's a beautifully simple image. It's a beautifully simple image that is not a magical one, though. Baptismal water is not magic water. It's not a special kind of blessed water that's different from other types of water. The water itself doesn't actually save us. Being baptized doesn't save a person. The act of baptism doesn't regenerate a person. The act of baptism itself doesn't earn us points with God. Baptism, rather, is a signpost. It is a sign that points us to the thing outside of the sign itself. You know, it points us to the way in which we are saved by grace in Jesus. It points us to his life and death on the cross and his washing us clean of our sins through his blood. Paul says this in something really helpful in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, that is in Jesus, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the washing and the regeneration and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. That, in essence, is what the sign of baptism points us to. Not that we washed ourselves and made ourselves clean, but because we have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus on the cross. We could not wash ourselves clean of our sin, could we? We could not separate ourselves from our wrongdoing. It was a stain that was been on us since the day of our conception. Psalm 51 says this. David the psalmist says, sinful I was since my conception, since before my mother gave me birth. That is how it is with us. We cannot wash ourselves clean. We need Jesus to wash us. We need God to elect us, to save us, and we need the Holy Jesus to live the perfect life for us, to die in our place, and we need the Holy Spirit then to apply that to our hearts and to our minds and to our spirits so that we may live out of this salvation as a free gift. That's what God's grace to us is. Now, why is this important? It's important because if we are honest with ourselves about who we really are, and if we know ourselves well enough, we will recognize that we are constantly tempted to see the world the wrong way around. We are constantly being tempted with this idea that we can live up to God's expectation of us, that we can do the things that earn our own cleansing. We are constantly tempted to think that baptism is actually something that we do, and that what happens in baptism is something that primarily humans do to other humans for God. But that's not what's happening. That's really the wrong way around. Baptism isn't so much about what we say to God. It's not about, you know, kind of slapping a spiritual badge on our shoulders and saying, you know, here's my badge, look at me, I'm a Christian. Although, of course, baptism does mark us out that way. But that's not primarily what baptism is about. It's not primarily about what we say to God. It's about what God says to us. It is about God saying, this one belongs to me. They have been marked out. The baptized one is a person who belongs with my people. They are part of my redeemed group. They are part of my family. They get the benefit of being in my community. It's a bit like getting a new family name. You know, it's being told by God through the church that this child belongs physically to my physical family here on earth. When you get married, you change, as a woman generally, you change your last name. You get a new name. You now belong, you've moved from belonging to the family you belong to, and now you belong to a new family, as your surname signifies. That's the same thing that baptism does. It is a sign that you are in God's family. It is a sign of what Jesus has done, and it is a sign of God's claim of that person as being part of his physical family on earth, as being physically part of the church. And so baptism, first and foremost, is a sign of being part of God's family. The second thing baptism is it's a seal of our union with Christ. So baptism is a sign of being part of God's family, but it's also a seal. Now, what is a seal? A seal is a cool electric car like mine. That's true. You can go look at it at the front in a little while if you like. A seal is also a furry creature that lives in the sea. But that's not the kind of seal that we're talking about, of course. This kind of seal is a rubber stamp. It's a mark that authenticates and ensures something. Now, if you graduate from school or from university or something like that, your diploma gets the seal of the university, a big shiny sticker, maybe it's a deep red star or something like that. And what they are doing when they affix the seal of the university is they say that we, the university, confirm and agree that this person has truly and actually been admitted into the rank of bachelor or master or doctor or whatever it might be. That's the kind of seal that baptism is. For the child who has been baptized, it is a God authenticating stamp that says, truly, this child has been admitted into, or this person has been admitted into the rank of being part of the God of people, part of the people of God, sorry. The child has the seal that says they belong to the covenant community. And because they belong to the community, it is a stamp that marks them out and says, since they belong to the people who belong to me, they also belong to me. That is what it means to be sealed as a child in baptism. It is the same thing that the adult who gets baptized gets sealed into. It is a seal that says this believer belongs to God's covenant community, and that God seals them with a stamp, a mark that says, they belong to me. It is a sign and a seal that we are united and sealed with Christ himself. Paul puts this powerfully in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. He says this, or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we may walk in the newness of life. For we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, and we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, those two or three verses there, that's a lot, you know, to chew on. We could probably spend a whole day talking about that. But in sort of everyday terms, what this is saying is that when you are baptized, you are being marked as someone who is joined with Jesus in every way that matters. His death is also yours. His resurrection is also yours. His new life is also yours, and therefore you are to live it out that way. Now think about what that means for us for a little while. You know, we often go through life trying to build ourselves, build our identity on other things. We look for our identity in our careers, in our relationships, in our parenting, in our achievements, in our reputation. But baptism says, here is a seal that marks you out with a different kind of identity. Baptism is proclaiming that your identity is in Christ. You are His and He is yours. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. His new life is your new life. And so that is who you now are as a baptized person. And that is true of a child who has been baptized, who still needs to come to faith themselves. They have been claimed by God and placed physically in a community who is joined to Christ. It is a powerful sign and a seal of who they are growing into. Now, of course, it is true that a child can reject God as they grow up. That is possible. It is true that they can reject the free promise of salvation that they have in Jesus if they would come to Him in faith. They can do that. But what baptism does is it proclaims loudly that that is not who they are to be. They are a child who's been set aside and physically joined, entered into a covenant community that is joined with Jesus. And so that is who they are supposed to become. And that's true of every adult who comes to faith later on in life and is baptized as an adult. That still says the same thing. You are becoming Christ. You are growing into Christ-likeness, and your baptism seals you to that. It is a powerful identity-shaping thing that says this is who you are being called into. And that is as true of a child as it is of an adult. And that's important for us because the reality is that, you know, if you're like me, it means that we struggle, right? We struggle in our spiritual walk. It's not always easy. Sometimes we doubt our faith. Sometimes, often, we fail and sin. Sometimes, perhaps often, we feel far from God. And in this case, our baptism is a reminder. It is a seal. You have been joined to Jesus. You have been marked out by His grace. You have received both the sign and the seal that you have received and you've been joined with Jesus in every way that matters. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection, whether you feel like it today or not. Not because you've earned it, not because you always feel it, but because God has sealed it to you in your baptism. That's pretty powerful stuff, right? That's pretty special. And so when you feel like you're not enough, when you feel like, you know, the shame for your sin creeps in, when you feel like you are afraid, perhaps you're drifting away from God, the call on us is to remember our baptism. It is a seal of the promise. It is what Paul says in chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is what your baptism points you to. That is what your baptism seals you to. That is what the faith and the assurance of your baptism calls you to. A union with Christ that cannot be broken. That's pretty great. And that's why baptism is a sacred thing. It is a sacrament that speaks of this deep, true thing. So baptism is a sign, and it is a seal of our union with Christ. But baptism is also about covenant inclusion. You know, we've seen that baptism is a sign and a seal, but there's another layer to what baptism is, and it's one that really matters to the life of the church. Baptism is about belonging. It is about being included in the covenant family. And this is where people often have questions, you know, especially when it comes to baptizing children. Why do we baptize infants? Isn't baptism supposed to come after faith? When you read the Bible, you know, every person who's having a conversation with one of the apostles in the Bible or that is being written about, they are adult believers. There are a few places where whole family households are baptized, which I think you have to agree includes their children. But for the people who speak, who have agency in the New Testament, all of them are adults who become baptized. Right? So why do we baptize children? Why do we baptize infants? Aren't they too young to believe? How can they receive baptism as something that is a response to faith? And that's a good and honest question. But the Bible gives us a good and reassuring answer. And we've hinted at this already. But we believe that baptism is for the children of believers. Why? Because that is how God's sign of being part of his family has functioned throughout all of Scripture. Let me go back a little while into Genesis chapter 17. So here God is making a covenant with Abraham, and this is where God picks out a people for himself, and he says, these are going to be my people. And this is what he says in verse 7. I'm going to confirm my covenant that is between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations, and this is to be a permanent covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. He says, I will be your God and the God of your children after you. And what is the sign that God then gives to Abraham, and not just to him, but to his whole household, including all the children? It is the sign of circumcision, right? God has always made covenants with people and with groups that have included children more so than he has with individuals. And it starts right here in Genesis chapter 15 through to 17 that we've read. There is this sign that if you are going to be part of God's covenant people, the males, the boys are going to be circumcised on the eighth day, and that is the way they are marked out by blood that God has claimed them as his own. If we then fast forward to the New Testament, we believe that Paul clearly lays out that baptism has replaced circumcision as the sign that you used to be part of God's people marked out by circumcision, but now you are part of God's people marked out by baptism. He says this in Colossians chapter 2. You also were circumcised with him, in him, with a circumcision not done by hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And what he's saying here is talking again about adult believers who came to faith as adults, as all Christians did when this was written. But the clear point that Paul is making is that in the mind of the apostle, the sign of being in the covenant, which used to be circumcision done by hands, is now baptism done by water. And so our view is that since the sign of circumcision, of being part of the covenant, was given to children, so too baptism, as this sign of being part of the new covenant, is to be given to children as they enter into the family of God. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, the apostle Peter is preaching to the crowd of Pentecost, and he says this about at the time. So Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then what does he say? "For the promise is for you and for your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." That is the same covenant language that has been used of Israel in the past. That is God saying, I still work through families. I still welcome children into my covenant family. And so when we baptize a young child in our church, we're not saying that this child is definitely saved and that this sprinkling of water is going to, you know, affect regeneration in their heart. What we are saying is that this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. This child belongs to the covenant family. God's promises is for them. And we as a church, as a community, are committing to raising that child in the knowledge of the Lord. It's a bit like giving them a passport when they're born. They don't understand what the passport means. They're going to need to grow into it. But it is a real declaration that they belong to this group of people in Australia. They can travel on the rights and all the things that come with being citizens of this country. It's the same thing that happens in baptism. They receive the sign and the seal that they are part of this covenant group of people. And that doesn't make the role of parents or the church any less important. In fact, it makes it even more important, because their baptism for them is a starting point. It's a point, it's not a finish line, it's a starting point. It's saying that they are entering into a lifelong journey of discipleship, and we as a church family and their parents as their disciples are going to help them do this well. And so baptism is a call to raise our children in the life of the gospel, to pray for them, to teach them, and to show them what grace looks like every day. And so, church, this is a reminder that we have a role to play in the lives of others within this church and in the lives of the children of this church. And so when we see a baby being baptized up the front on a Sunday morning, we are tempted to think, oh, that's pretty cute, and it kind of is. But we need to realize that that is a covenant child, that God has made a claim on them, has so arranged it that that child would be born into this believing family. And they are now to walk with Christ as examples. He's given them their parents, and we are also examples to that child. It's a pretty important thing. And so that is why we baptize our children. It is a sign and a seal. It is a sign that replaces circumcision, that was the sign and seal of being part of God's covenant family. So now we have baptism as being a part of a sign and a seal of being part of God's covenant family. And it calls us to respond, and it calls us to live out of baptism, out of the faith we have and out of the call that God has on our life. And so will you respond to that call? Will you respond to the baptism that marks you and seals you to the union of Christ, to live as examples for the kids and out of the call that you have personally received? Will you live like that? Because your baptism is pretty special. Let me pray. Lord, we pray that you will help us to capture the weight of this sacrament of baptism. Now, this is more than a sort of a tick in the box that we can say and take to the Christian school that says, yes, we've baptized our child, so you must enroll them. That this is more than just a symbol that that says something like you've washed them. But that this is both a sign and a seal. Lord, we pray that this is true of all of us, that we will not just leave our baptism as something that happened in the past, but that we will wear it every day, that we will live out of the call you have given us in our baptism. And so we pray that you will help us to capture the weight of this sacrament, to rejoice in it and to live from it, as our response to what you have already done for us, as you have washed us clean in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.